This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. We often provide care at the end of life that is not consistent with the patient's wishes. Sometimes our care is overly aggressive and can cause the person unnecessary pain and suffering as we seek to prolong life. Other times, the patient may wish for aggressive care that is just not consistent with scientific evidence. The U.S. stands out in the proportion of people with serious illnesses who are near death who are admitted to the intensive care unit. This is true even when there is no evidence to suggest benefit of admission to an ICU will outweigh the harms. Most people who receive this type of aggressive care do not survive the hospitalization. One important reason that hospitals gravitate toward aggressive overtreatment is that our healthcare system is market-driven, meaning more services means more profit. But end-of-life care differs not just by the healthcare provider, but by the institution, the hospital or nursing home. Patient or family preferences or doctor's expectations do not explain these differences between institutions. Perhaps there are differences in policies or resources. Well, it was in this context that a group of researchers, coordinated by the University of California at San Francisco, conducted a series of interviews with healthcare providers and leaders from three West Coast hospitals that differed in their level of intensity of care they provided at the end of life. In all three hospitals, the healthcare teams described a default hospital culture that values high-intensity ICU end-of-life care. Hospital culture refers to the shared values and beliefs of an institution. Hospital culture is how things are done by default at that hospital. Hospital culture can certainly impact end-of-life care, but it can also impact leadership, communication and transparency, and quality improvement. But hospital culture is not fixed forever. It can change, even though change isn't easy and it comes slowly. But studies suggest that hospital culture is a major predictor of the intensity of end-of-life care. When researchers looked at high, medium, and low-intensity care hospitals, specifically in terms of the end-of-life care they provided, they found that high-intensity hospitals had larger Medicare reimbursements per patient. Patients spent more days in the hospital, twice as many as low-intensity hospitals, and six times as many days in the ICU, and more patients ended up dying in the hospital. Low-intensity hospitals felt comfortable not offering treatments that were not beneficial, including things like feeding tubes and dialysis. And high-intensity care was often driven by specialists who did not know the patient and were focused on the function of a specific body organ, such as the lung or kidneys, and lack of a clear doctor charged with communicating to the patient or the family. Into all of this needs to come patient preferences. Matching level of care to the patient's desire is only possible if the person or their surrogate express a clear preference. But when they do, hospitals need to listen. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion.